Good morning. 8:38 a.m. 10/10/2013. I'm gonna put this back in my pocket. Put my gloves on. If I can do it without breaking anything here. It's 18-minute first mile. I'm not listening to my my normal Lady Gaga dance channel. And the first mile anymore. I have it for a couple of days, and the timing shows. In part because I just haven't got the strength. I'm still sick. Today's Thursday, which means I have to go talk to talk to high school kids this afternoon. Which I hope I will feel better for. It's sometimes difficult to be so slow to recover. I remember hearing some of my elders talk about, yeah, well, you don't heal as fast. Yeah, this is true. I've got a bit of a congestion. My lungs are still draining. You can probably hear a bit of the fry in my voice from not having clear passageways to breathe. So trying to pump out a 16-minute mile today would be foolhardy and extreme. There's so much gunk in my lungs that I can feel it dribbling. It's kind of disgusting. I'm sorry. I'll change the subject. Other than say yes, I'm still sick, but I am out walking. I am trying to move my butt. I am trying to get something approaching a schedule in play. Today's the 10th of October. I'm really psyching myself up for November for NaNoWriMo. I'm thinking about book 3 in the Tanith, and I know that at least a couple of people are going to be disappointed that I didn't tackle Cape Grace. Because South Coast was, after all, another NaNoWriMo project. So there's some justice there in tackling Cape Grace and NaNoWriMo. And my big plans for getting two books done this year. Well, it still could happen, I suppose. If I were to go home and ignore the sick kid and ignore the sick wife and turn off the internet and brew a new pot of coffee, I might be able to write a novel between now and the end of the month. Stranger things have happened. The problem is that I'm sick. I want toast and coffee. Toast and tea. I want somebody to wait on me. I want a wine. Oh. I made a big pot of chicken soup last night. That helped a great deal, I think, because before that I was feeling really, really yucky. Younger daughter has a cough that won't let her sleep. And of course, I'm drugged by the time it goes to bed, so it doesn't really keep me awake. But it keeps my wife awake. Because while she's drugged, there's also the small matter of it doesn't actually put her out the way it does me. 5,000 words for 20 days would be 100,000 words. 5,000 words is 5 hours. I wonder if I can find the discipline needed. More roofers out today. Oh, a hole in the cloud cover. Look at that. Looks like there might be a couple of them. I put down overcast on the picture this morning because when I came out, everything was cloudy, but it looks like there's a couple layers of clouds. There's a lower layer that's fairly dense and relatively widespread, and then above it is. But apparently not 100%. And above it is another cloud deck that is perhaps moving in a different direction. Because I'm seeing holes open up here and there. There's actually blue sky off to the south. Ooh, pretty. And yes, I waited until it was light to go out today. I didn't have to take the kid to school. I may wait till after I come back. I'm taking the kid to school. At least until the end of the month. Just because it's hard enough to get out and go out and walk, but to go out and walk in the dark and the cold. Cold is one thing, the dark is, it's like, oh, really? Stumble my way along in the dark. The other half of that is that the schedule, working on a schedule. Well, it's productive because I get stuff done. It also helps control my mood swings. So it's like, okay, I have some structure to my day. I have something that can support me externally, a scaffolding to prop me up even when I feel like crap. I feel kind of funny walking along with my parka and two sweatshirts and my gloves. My hands are warming up finally. This is not clearing out any. Yawn. I think that what I might need to do is just say the hell with it and lay down and take a nap this morning. Try to get some energy for this afternoon. Working with the kids is always. It's always fun. It's always a challenge. It's how to how to get a handle on what it is that you're doing, how to focus on the detail while talking about the larger picture, talk about the larger scope. All three of the students who are left, started with six, we lost half of them, when they realized how much work it was going to be, I don't blame them. The three who are left are writing amazing things. They're doing wonderful work. I have the whole Monkapool. I think I have all three types of writer, or I don't know if there's only three, there may be more. But one who just goes, sits down and writes just flat out. And the stuff that she's writing is staggering. I don't even think she realizes how out there it is. She's writing about topics that most people would shy away from, and she's writing about them in an offhand manner because they're amusing and interesting, but they're only part of the story. They're only sort of subtext in the story. They're not subtext because they're right there on the page, but it's wonderful. It's wonderful stuff. It's angsty. It's real. It's gritty. It's in your face. It's wonderful stuff. And I have one who's writing history, who's a craftsman who agonizes over every word. And I need her to stop agonizing over the words and start putting the story on the page. What she's got is in many cases, lovely. In some cases, it's no. Point of view break, inconsistent observation. 13-year-old kid is not going to notice adult stuff. They're going to notice something that looks very different. And they're not going to have names for things like 1949 Chevy pickups. But it's beautiful. It's wonderful stuff. And I'm anxious for her to get to that point where the story itself ignites and she's able to stop the detail and edit, re-edit, get to the end of the paragraph and edit the paragraph, get to the end of the page and edit the page. I get on with actually putting the story down because I think the story is going to be pretty spectacular if she brings the same level of insight, I guess is the right word, of cleverness into the story as she's put into these first few pages. First few pages, it's like 20. And the last one already has a book. She has completed a book and got a CreateSpace copy of it herself, which is just totally awesome. And a lot of what she's doing is, what we're doing with her is going back and revising and looking at what she's done. She's not happy with the way that she wrote the book the first time. So she's basically rewriting the whole book. I'm sure she's starting with some basic ideas, so the chapter structure is probably similar. But it's the first book of a series, yes. And it has a YA main character, yes. It has a lot of really excellent allegory in it, a lot of really excellent metaphor in it. And I don't know if she's even aware of it. I'm sure she is because she's really smart. But it's really quite spectacular. It's really quite good. And I'm really hoping that we have time before the end of the semester to actually get through the whole book. At this point, she's only showing me small pieces of it, which is fine. Oh, we gotta get this. We gotta get this published. And when it's published, I will let everybody know so they can all go buy it, because it would be worth buying. One of those authors that probably will be really important in 5 years. So yeah, I'll let you know. In other news, there was a post by some poor twit, Dr. Jim Taylor, about whether self-published authors were really published or authors or whatever. And it made a big splash on Huffington Post, and of course Chris Rush picked up because somebody on her network found it and lampooned it. Actually, the lampoon is much more clever than the original post. The original post was sort of pedestrian. It was written by, in theory, a PhD, perhaps an EdD. In truth, a consultant who is using his publishing career to foster his speaking engagements. So part-time faculty, full-time flogger. And he's doing all the right things for a subject matter expert, trying to gain more attention for himself and his work so that he can get more speaking engagements, and having even a stupid post published to the front of Huffington undoubtedly helps his cause. But, you know, there's already a lot of teeth gnashing. It's been around for a few days. It's been around since September 30th. And it's only now filtering down to people, which is quite amusing. The comment stream on the Huffington Post is predictable. His disclaimers in the comment stream are predictable. The fact that his writing is particularly sloppy that opened him up to most of the criticism is predictable. Okay, fine. It's one of those, really? Somebody who admits that he didn't edit his own books, that he didn't hire cover artists for his own books. Somebody who admits that his mother did the second read for him. This is somebody we're going to take seriously talking about self-publishing. This is clearly somebody who hasn't even really a clue about what he's talking about. His comments that, yes, we're overgeneralizing, yes, we're attacking him, even though he did say a lot of what mainstream press publishes is crap to begin with. Yes, he did say that. But he didn't say most self-published. He said all self-published, which includes himself in the argument. He did make a valid point that people who are complaining using themselves as a counter-argument don't really consist of data, they only consist of anecdotal repartee. I can accept that argument as well. The argument that he keeps, that has come back to haunt us again and again and again, is the Taylorist survey, which is probably going to haunt us forever. How few books self-published authors ever sell, how little money they ever make. And nobody wants to really talk about what the shape of the traditional published market looks like. How little even bestsellers actually make. Well, the top 10, sure. The top 50, really? The top 100? No, I don't think so. I pay more in income tax than some of the people in the 100 to 50 range. The New York Times bestseller list. Particularly, people who have only one book. One book published through a mainstream press that hasn't actually sold a whole lot of copies, but has shipped a pot full to bookstores. Yeah, that's not right. And 19 minutes on the second. I knew that was coming. I'm slowing down. But I'm walking. I'm moving. As sick as I am, I'm still making an effort. Let's see if we can't start a new streak. Well, it's going to get interrupted next week when I go away for Mile High Con, so let's see if I can at least get that far before I take another break. But in the meantime, tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.